Chapter 3. Ron was all over the building when he came back. He wanted to exhaust his stack of referrals and got the number down to 2 by the time he was ready for the meeting about David. The meeting was in the guidance counselor's office. Ron joined Chandra Peters, David's case manager, and Bert Puri, the guidance counselor. Each of the three had a thick file on David. "I asked for this meeting today because we have an untenable situation here. David Carpenter's behavior is totally out of control. And unless we can come up with some kind of a solution that is better than the one we have now, a kid who is totally unmindful of any boundaries will continue to have free rein to act out." His intro was followed by silence. Both of the counselors waited, as was their practice, to see if there was more coming. Ron waited too. He knew what the story was. He knew he was putting both of them in an uncomfortable position. He didn't care. It was time for them to do their jobs. "Haven't been any problems yet today," said Bert, in a weak attempt at humor. Ron was in no mood to laugh. "In the 7 weeks of this school year, David has managed 19 discipline referrals. Each time he has been given a teacher or school detention, he has cut it and just waited to be bailed out." Chandra Peters spoke in clipped tones, and her body posture was that of someone who did not wish to be there. "David is still adjusting to a new surrounding and a new set of rules. I think we need to give him more time to settle in. And in the meantime, what do you suggest I tell the faculty members that he tells to go fuck themselves?" Chandra was at first nonplussed. Then she said softly, "Tell them this is a sick child who needs patience." Ron forced eye contact. "Even though we both know that he is in the wrong spot, and that as long as this situation continues, the chances of a real danger to David and others exists and is obviously extant, and we are doing nothing about it?" "I don't know that, Dr. Tuck. I know that you are saying it, but that doesn't make it true." Ron began writing. They both watched. There was a stiffness in their posture. "So, your expert opinion," said Ron, "is that we do nothing." The obvious challenge to her showed no visible signs of impact. "That's not what I said. What I said was that new change in David's environment requires an amount of creative thinking and a bit of patience." Ron finished writing and looked over at Bert. "Do you agree with that assessment?" There was an air of conviviality that the guidance counselors always tried to convey when talking with other staff. It was part of their job description. They did not wish to appear too earnest. They felt that a relaxed atmosphere and tone was the best way to get things accomplished. Ron rarely exhibited a relaxed atmosphere and tone. There was an awkward friendliness between them, but they did not trust Ron, who might go off on some kind of campaign that never worked out well for them and always required more work. "I agree with Chandra that David needs a lot of patience," Bert smiled. Chandra smiled. Ron did not. "But I could arrange for a parent meeting to try to get everyone on the same page." He was throwing Ron a bone, and if he did not take it, Bert would contend that Ron had rushed through the process. Ron said, "Do you agree with that, Dr. Peters?" "I agree that relaxed communication is a good starting point," said Sandra. "I'm not sure what we hope to gain by meeting with parents at this point." Ron stood. He closed his pad. "It is a way of avoiding a manifestation determination conference," said Ron, "which is my next step if the behavior does not change." A manifestation determination conference was a big deal. It was an enormous amount of work. It required a meeting with the learning disabilities testing coordinator, the parents, the school principal, the students' teachers, and those of them in the room. Chandra felt Ron was using it as a threat. "Set up the parent meeting, Bert. Have Joyce put it on my calendar, please." And then Ron was gone. Bert smiled at Chandra and said good-naturedly, "You've just been tucked."